I'll have to try it out.
Every human
Yeah. Friends of Our City of Christ, and then families with babies and children. We have babies coming, we have babies born, and that's an exciting thing. So it's fun being a grandpa. Who did I tell it? It's because it's less maintenance. Marsha and I have had that experience for a year and a half now. It's just a wonderful thing. So exciting to have children coming. We want to pray for friends that need Christ. And in the hyper divisive and angry and polarizing conversations of our day, I was hearing a man say he challenges young people to go higher and unite rather than stay at the dividing, polarized level. And he said, what unites us is Christ and what we have in common. And one of the things that the political, economic, and social arguments of our day have done, for me at least, and I think for many others, is remind me that the reality is in God, in Christ, and in His love. And to see the wonderful examples of Jesus reaching across all kinds of lines of political and religious difference and social isolation and shame and embarrassment, and healing by His grace those relationships, stands as a challenge to us, and that's what we're called to do and to be. And so I think this morning, as a part of your prayers, I would encourage you to pray for the healing grace and the healing love of Christ to flow through you and to be redemptive to those around you. And then obviously to lift up to God the names of those that are on your concern list, on your priority list that you're praying for. Let's sing together the CARES chorus as we move into prayer time.
Anytime, I don't know.
we're so glad we have one we can cast our cares upon. And as we gather this morning, each one of us brings a wide variety of challenges and concerns and perhaps even broken hearts or preoccupied minds or worry over situations we're involved in or situations around us in our family or in our network of friends. And in these burdens, O God, and in these moments, we're glad we can come to you. We're glad for this day when we reset our focus, we reset our hearts to your agenda, to your vision, to your priorities. And so we come this morning, Lord, that you would clean off the lenses that we look through and give us a vision, O God, of faith and hope and love for the life circumstances we're in. Renew within us an upright spirit, but also renew faith and hope and the words of comfort and joy that we need to speak into the lives of those around us. I pray, Lord, this morning for our nation and all of the diversity of challenges and trials that we see broadcast in the news and across the computer as we watch the events in our world. Many of them break our hearts. Many of them leave us confused and concerned for the direction of our world. And so, Lord, we lift it to you this morning. We're glad that we can come in a sense to a refuge out of that pressure and out of that divisiveness and out of those contentious arguments into a place of calm and into a place of assurance and into a perspective that's higher. We thank you for that today. Lift our hearts beyond that which is around us that discourages and defeats or distracts us. Lord, in many cases, we can't change what is happening around us, but we can change what happens within us. Our hearts can be renewed and our spirits can be invigorated and we can be given words of wisdom and we can speak into the hurt and into the need with the healing grace of Christ. So give us that kind of passion, that kind of wisdom, we pray. Pray for these children as I talked about babies being born and the ones on the way, and we just want to lift it all up to you and ask for your strength and your wisdom and your love and grace to be in these homes and in these lives, that these would be children loved and these would be children with committed parents, parents committed to Christ and committed to doing what's right for the long run. And we just ask, God, that we would come alongside them as a church to help them in that race and in that run of life. Pray, Lord, that this morning as we hear your word, you would speak to us, you would challenge us, you would draw us into the redeeming circle of your grace again. You might show us where we need to change or grow or where we need to be more loyal or be more concerned. So, Lord, we're open to what you would say to us and how you would challenge our hearts. We look to you to speak today, and we are listening, our hearts are attentive to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to be singing this gospel song that I like. I've changed all of these to you because it's just more what we say. If you don't know this, you want to learn it. We're going to just sing two verses today. There are a dozen verses. We're not going to do them all. But how many are there?
Did you change it in here, too?
No, I didn't change it in the book. You got the book. You got to say you where it says thee. And I've never preached a series of messages from a hymn or a song in the hymnal. But I did this one because here was where I'm going. Number one, we've got to come to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And the message ought to bring us to Jesus.
That's right.
That's another amen.
Amen.
When I go like this, go amen. Okay. So the message ought to bring us to Jesus.
Amen.
About a third of me. Okay. So this message, this song brings us to Jesus in every verse. But what I noticed was how it spells out our need. And so the sorrow, bondage, sorrow, and night, I preached that message about a month ago on how sin enslaves us, and it's a slave driver, and it brings a bondage in our lives. I'll look at some of the others in a minute, but let's just sing these two verses together, and the guys are going to lead us with that. Singing that phrase, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. I'd hear that through the house. I'd hear that in the garden. I'd hear that in the kitchen. She'd just sing, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Isn't it great that God doesn't grade us on our ability to sing or our disability in singing, whichever that is? He just loves us, you know. It's just like, you know, when you love your children and they sing off key or repeat it, you just love them because they're great kids. Well, you think they are. They are. Amen. It's God's kids. Let us be God's kids and sing. Does that keep flashing back and forth? So I'm going to talk this morning about your least favorite subject, and one that probably you don't want me to talk about, but that's okay because we'll do it together. And we're going to talk about out of the issue of sin. The issue of death, that sin leads to death, and that God calls us to Himself through death. We see physical death as the end. The Bible doesn't see that. The Bible says that we will know Him, we will see Him, we will be with Him. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And so our spirit will live even after our body is gone. Now we live on this side of the veil, we don't see through that, we don't get to enjoy any of that promise from this side of life except in faith and anticipation. But Jesus says, and the Bible teaches, that we will be with Him if we pass in Christ.
Amen.
And we can thank God for those who have gone before us as the example, who lived and walked with Christ, and and are with him today. So the first sermon I preached was out of the bondage of sorrow and night. Jesus, I come. That's bondage to sin, the bondage that was tying us up. And then I preached on out of my shameful failure. And I talked about shame, how there is no shame for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For the law of the Spirit and grace has set me free from the law of sin and death. And we have in Christ no shame. And that is a message that we have to come back to time and time again in our lives, because Satan wants to shame us. Satan's always looking to see where he can drive the wedge in for you to say, well, I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. Look at them. They're better than me. They look better. They act better. They have better kids. They have better homes. They have better lives. And that envy or that resentment or that divisive, dividing culture of competition that drives us to feel that we don't measure up. God has come to erase all of that. You're just as much a loved child as God as any disciple ever was. You realize that? You're just as close to him as you want to be. So he removes shame from us. Then I talked about arrogant pride. Talked about that last week. I forgot to tell you in that message last week that pride is the only illness where everyone else gets sick. The proud person doesn't know that they're making everyone else sick. You notice that? Yeah. And so out of my arrogant, unrestful pride, we talked about the words of Jesus, come unto me and I will give you rest. I think of that and I think of competition. I think of how we internally compete, or we're racing, we're always running to get something done or trying to achieve and trying to measure up. And he says to us, rest, rest. Not lazy, not leave the work undone, not quit. No, he's saying in what you're doing, there is a rest that comes when you're doing my will. And so we talked about that last Sunday. Does that flash back and forth when I move it every time? Today we're having bugs in the system. And then he says, out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And you've heard me say this before in other contexts, but let me apply it here this morning, that which we don't talk about, that which we don't try to understand, will dominate us, will control us, because we don't understand it. And so Jesus has come, and the Bible is here, and God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is with us to guide us into all truth, meaning that we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to fear, we don't have to worry. I was going to have get a shot, and I really didn't want to get that particular shot, and I was afraid that it was going to really hurt. And I had just met this doctor, and he was convinced, and he was really nice. And he asked a lot of great questions, and he kept saying to me, it's easy, it's an easy shot, it won't bother you, it won't hurt you. And sure enough, when I got it, it didn't bother me, it didn't hurt me. But what? My anxiety was just really pretty high. And that's that fear and dread of the unknown. And God wants us to know, he wants us to understand. So when I began looking through scriptures and looking at death as a theme in the Bible, it's amazing how much you find that maybe you've overlooked or heard in other contexts, but it really clarifies and gives us light on the subject so we don't have to fear the darkness of death. So I like to start with three questions. So I'll take you to three questions. What is physical death? Now, when I was in some grade in like early high school or late middle school, I don't remember, they taught us in biology that death is the inability to respond to stimulus. When you no longer respond to any stimulus, you're dead. Well, think about it this way. Spiritual death is when you aren't responding to God, when you no longer have his Spirit speaking, or you're not listening, or you're not growing, or you're not engaged, then you are spiritually dead. I'll talk about spiritual death differently, but obviously we know what physical death looks like. Spiritual death is when we no longer listen to God, and we choose by our own will to walk away into the night, to to walk away from the Holy Spirit, to walk away from the truth, to walk away from Christ as our Savior. It's a walk, and I can't tell you at what point we have gone beyond the point where we can come back, but there is that point. And I can tell you that unless your heart remains sensitive to the will of God and sensitive to the Spirit and responsive to His voice, you lose touch and you spiritually would die without Christ. And of course, that leads to eternal death. The thing about eternal death, one theologian wrote, is that people get exactly what they wanted. They get the absence of God. What a catastrophic, awful thought that is, that they've wanted to have nothing to do with God, and finally God gives them what they want for forever. That's the death that we fear. That's the death that we don't want, because Christ has come to take away the power of death in this life, the physical death. And so we're going to look at that a little bit together. The idea can paralyze you, because as you look at it, you just get so scared and concerned over it. And I've been there. I've shared that story before, how in my youth that some of the experiences I was exposed to really drove me to almost a paranoia, almost a phobia, that I couldn't be around funeral service or around that. And I knew I needed to be as a minister. And so I talked to you about the process of change. Well, let's look at the word together. And this is, I apologize for that jumping around. We'll see if we can get there together. Hebrews 2, 14 and 16. Oh, you got a nice clear image there. It's fuzzy on my screen. Since the children have flesh and blood. Now, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, is writing about how the children of Israel, the Israelites and the children of Moses or Abraham, have flesh and blood. He, too, shared in their humanity. Now he's switching to Christ. He's saying Christ came as one in the flesh like we are. He shared in our humanity so that by his death he may break the power of him who holds the power of death. Who holds the power of death? He tells us. That is the devil. So Jesus came to break Satan's power of death. Death was the threat that we would ultimately be lost forever away from God. And in that fear and in that power that Satan held, Jesus takes it away through the resurrection.
Amen.
And that defeats him. That robs Satan of his power of death, eternal death. Now, there's still physical death, yes, but it's not eternal separation from God. So he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. In other words, he's saying God has given us freedom from the slavery of fear of death. Some people say, well, don't even talk about it. Don't bring it up. Let's stay away from it. If I run hard enough, it'll never catch up. You know, that kind of idea. Obviously, they're wrong. Obviously, that doesn't happen. But the point is that God has come to take away the fear, the paralyzing phobia of what lies after this life and that what happens when I no longer breathe and live. And he's come to take that away. I've told you before that in John Wesley's day, of the Methodists that followed and came into the revivals, they said of them, they die well. And remember, this was a day before use of morphine and use of a lot of drugs at the end to make everything calm and easy. And it was a time when death could be very gruesome and horrible, but they said of them, they died well. Why? Because they knew where they were going. One of the traditions out of the Caribbean, I believe it is that of singing people over into the presence of God. And so around the grave, they sing the hymns until, as I used to say as a kid, I sing until I'm blessed. And when you get blessed, you just trust God and it's okay. And that's the image that I like there that I want us to think about this morning. Let me see how I can move on here. I got you my three questions. We did that already. So Spiritual death is eternal separation from God. I talked about that. Physical death, the end of the body, our spirit goes to God in paradise. We talked about how Jesus gives us that assurance. And then is the white throne judgment. That's at the end of all of the ages when God separates the sheep from the goats, the scripture says, and gives life to the eternal life to those who are in Christ Jesus. The eternal separation takes place then at that point. 1 Corinthians 15, for he must reign, Jesus must reign, until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. But he destroys. He wins. You heard the story before, but I've read the end of the book. I know in the end he wins. Yeah, it's not a mystery. It's clear. Jesus came first to destroy the one who held the power of death. That's the negative side. The positive side is he came to deliver those who were held captive by their fear of death. I don't like talking about death. I don't enjoy death. Death has nothing. I'm not hung up psychologically. I can't think of the word that would be. I'm morbidly fixed on it. No. But I know it's a transition that we go through. And I know that Christ, as one writer said, has knocked the ends off the tomb so that it is open and we go through to his presence rather than stay there waiting. Thank God for that. John 11:26, everyone who lives and believes in me, these are the words of Jesus, what does it say? Shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked. So we have eternal life. We have life in his presence. And think of it this way. All the infirmities of the body, all the limitations of our human clay existence are wiped out. Because now it's our spirit with God's spirit. And he gives us new bodies, is the promise in the scripture, when we come to be with him, when we go to be with him. What a great promise that is. And he assures us of that. I mentioned Hebrews, so let's just, and I read it to you, but let's just go back and look at it again. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from the Reader's Version of the NIV. What was the verse I was at?
Verse 14.
Oh, thank you. Good help. For those children have bodies made of flesh and blood, so Jesus became a human like them in order to die for them. By doing this, he could break the power of the devil. The devil is the one who rules over the kingdom of death. Jesus could set people free who were afraid of death. All their lives they were held as slaves by that fear. It is certainly Abraham's children that he helps. He doesn't help angels. So he had to be made like people. And this is the part I love. Fully human in every way. Then he could serve God as a kind and faithful high priest. And then he could pay for the sins of the people by dying for them. He himself suffered when he was tempted. Now he is able to help others who are being tempted. So the writer to Hebrews is telling us that at every point, Jesus identifies with what we go through. He's been here, he's done that, and he won the victory. And so we can know that as we face on new days and new changes and new realities in life, as you face towards in aging and then eventually towards death, you can be assured that in Christ you have one who has walked that road ahead of you and can now guide you by his Holy Spirit with what you face. And for all of us, it's a new day. It's always a new day. It's a new reality. And we face things we've never faced before. We face challenges we haven't thought of before. And so in facing those challenges and that new reality, we call on the Holy Spirit with us to guide us and to lead us, to walk with us, recognizing that our older brother, Jesus, already went ahead to show us the way.
Amen.
Isn't that great to know today? Isn't that comforting? COVID's not new to God. It's just another permutation of what is coming to all of us, the end of physical life, unless Jesus comes first.
Amen.
And then we'll meet him and go to be with him. And so it says here, the writer says he doesn't help angels. He came to help us. Isn't that great to know? He came for us. Not only in identifying as human and being fully human in every way, as it says here in verse 17, but also in going before us as the example of the perfect humanity, the life we all want to live. Then he could pray, then he could pay for the sins of the people by dying for them. Because he fully came here, he can fully represent us on Calvary. And we can know that he died for our sins. And then he himself suffered when he was tempted. That's a great line. I have a friend who keeps reminding me of that line, that Jesus all his life was tempted, that he faced temptation. Satan, when he leaves him after the 40 days in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry, says in Matthew, I believe it is, that he left him for a while. But Jesus faced temptation, the same temptations we face as a young man. He faced those, and he kept the victory. He suffered when he was tempted, and now he is able to help others who are being tempted. Let's pray again. Father, you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or imagine. Your word assures us of that. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that in this message you will have pushed some of us to leave comfort zones or to leave past ideas behind and to move out into the new that you have for us. I pray that some this morning would put their hand into your hand, maybe for the first time, or maybe to come back again, and to know in that moment the peace and the assurance that you go before us, that you show us the way, that you've already walked and already handled all that we will face. You understand it, you know it, and we can trust you. Forgive us when we doubt or when we fear, and when, like Peter, we start to drown. And instead teach us to walk by faith with a confidence that nothing in the world can take away, with an assurance of a promise of a God who has never broken his word, with the assurance that all that happens to us you've already understood and encountered and won the victory.
Amen.
Lord, some this morning maybe have lived in a real dark fear of death. Give them your peace and assurance, as the scripture says that you walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Remind them that they'll never be alone, even if they might be lonely. They'll never be in a place that you have not already been. But by your Spirit and grace, you walk with them to keep them, to guide them, to make the journey with them. Now thank you, Lord, for your word and the way in which it illuminates our lives and guides us. And so we pray, Father, that you would bless our offerings and tithes as we give them. We give because you have given far more to us. We could never outgive you. You challenge us in that area as well, and we find over and over your blessing and your strength, and we praise you for that. Thank you for the privilege today of being in your presence, and for what we get to share and enjoy in a meal and a baby shower in a few moments. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, receive the tithes and offerings.
Attend.
Shall I
Months. I'm going to pray. Now, some people have struggled with this, so just listen carefully. I'm going to pray, and that will include the food. That means that when you go downstairs, you can grab a plate, unless they tell you otherwise. If somebody's there's a holdup, you know, you don't have to wait around. You don't have to be formal. You don't have to, you know, get your best buddy and sit down where you'd like to sit and have a good time. All right? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Give you praise, Lord, that from beginning to end of this world, the universe, you are the author and you are the provider and you are the creator. We can trust you. We can know that. And we can be assured that our lives from birth to death in this world are being watched over by your power and by your spirit. And all the promises you make are true in Christ Jesus, as scripture says. And so, Lord, we thank you today that we don't have to live in fear. Fear of death, because it's not the end, it's the finishing of life as we physically know it, so that we can have new bodies in your presence and live with you forever. Grant that every one of us would make sure in our hearts that we know that we know that we know that we walk with you, we talk to you, and we are your child. We've been born again. Father, may we be the light source for others who are in darkness today. May they see in us Christ and begin to hunger for him because of the lives we live and the way in which we involve them and include them. Thank you that you go before us this week in all that we do. And now bless the food and thank you for all the hands that are preparing it. and thank you for the privilege of us being together to share in fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. It's good to be here.
Thanks.